This is Jesus speaking. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning all. The second reading is from Romans 12, 1 to 8, found on page 975. Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve that God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, from one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, let's pray. The Lord Jesus says there in John 15, if you remain in me, my words remain in you. Ask, and it will be done. This is to my Father's glory. You bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. We pray, Lord Jesus, might your word dwell richly in us, and might it do so fruitfully, producing fruit from us. We ask in your name. Amen. Well, good morning. If I haven't met you yet, my name's Mark. I'm the minister here, and there's a couple of visitors here this morning. It's lovely to have you with us. We've been, over these last 3 weeks, walking through a series on union with Christ. And the question is, how closely joined are we to the Lord Jesus? You might want to think about that. How closely joined are you to Christ? Now, just before we kind of get going, I've got some slides here, I think. Am I right? I missed the opening ceremony, to my shame. Am I right in saying that the opening ceremony of the Olympics featured that John Lennon song, Imagine? Is that right? No. Didn't come up. No. Some of you watched the opening ceremony. Like, did anyone watch the opening ceremony? I wasn't the only one. Anyway, okay, well, I understood it did, but I think I might be mistaken. That's a bit of a faux pas. You should have checked. Anyway, whatever. John Lennon. Let me just take that off now. Didn't work. John Lennon wrote that song, didn't he? Imagine if there's... imagine all the peoples. You might say I'm a dreamer. I hope someday you'll join us and the world will be as one. There's a great longing for oneness. The Olympic kind of spirit talks to that sort of aspiration. Oh, that we could be one, put aside all of our differences and so on. You too have a song called One. I'm pretty sure Queen have a song, One Vision, something like that. Even in our kind of unusual cultural moment where diversity is being pressed, like it's done so with a longing for equal treatment of everyone. We long for oneness because, well, I think we're so familiar with the opposite, with separation, with a divided office. I don't know if some of you have a divided office. Relational breakdown in marriage, it's so painful. Family division, you know, brothers falling out with friends, ex-best friend. We look for oneness because all the human attempts that we sort of have to manufacture it seem to fall over due to pride or selfishness or people not doing things my way. Why won't they? God in his word meets us with the happy news. The oneness that we're looking for is found where? It's received as a gift. Where? In the church. In Christ. The one people that God is building in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's remarkable. And this morning as we continue and conclude this little series on union with Christ, we're looking into God's great gift of the church, the body of Christ. And the big point is, joined to Jesus means that we're joined to one another, his body. How closely joined are we to Christ? Well, over the last 3 weeks, I hope you've been able to make the answer. Well, we're very closely connected. We've seen over and over and over how profoundly close Jesus invites us into relationship with him. Today, John 15, that reading, how closely are you related to Christ? Like a branch grafted into the main trunk, drawing everything of your life from him. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Well, you're engrafted into Christ when you are joined by faith to him. The language that we've seen over the last few weeks speaks to our being joined in him. The language of the New Testament is you are, if you're a believer, you are in Christ. Like a bride loved by him, the bridegroom. The fact a couple of weeks ago that God has us joining in with his action declares our closeness. Remember how we looked at Galatians 2, I have been, you have been, crucified with Christ, and not only crucified, buried, raised. Last week we thought about how being joined to his future changes us in the present. Well, today we come to the sort of shared communal dimension of our union with Christ. Joined to Jesus means being joined to his body, joined to all who are in Christ. Now we see this from Romans 12, particularly verse 5. So in Christ, we, though many, form one body. It's just a remarkable thing. And this morning I've got two pretty straightforward points, actually. And I've put these 2 points in the news sheet. Two points. One, the gift. In Christ, we are one body. Two, the work. Each part functioning together. There are two main points that I want us to see. The gift of being joined to Christ and the work that that gives us to do, each part functioning together, the gift, the work. So let's just think about those 2 points this morning. The gift first. And normally here at our church, we work through the Bible sort of passage by passage. That's our staple sort of practice. This thematic series, we're sort of jumping here, there and everywhere. That's why I sort of have a few more slides. We'll be jumping a few places this morning. But we're starting in Romans 12. So if you've got your Bible, page 975, that's a great place to start. And there's much more in these verses here than we can cover today. The context, Romans, we've just reached the massive turning point of this whole letter. Paul turns from teaching of the wonder of God's saving work to now how it works out in practice in people's life. The therefore of chapter 12, verse 1, arguably refers to everything that's come before, chapters 1 to 11. God has shown mercy, he says. That is, Christ has died in the place of sinners, if you go back a few chapters. Forgiveness from God, a future with God is now on offer to all who hear and trust him. Adoption as his very own children, chapter 8. And so, chapter 12, verse 1, in view of this mercy shown you, this great kindness of God, now let that mercy come out in your life together. And it's really instructive. As he thinks about life together, what's the first big picture that the Apostle Paul uses? Well, we see it there in chapter 12, verse 4 and 5. It's the picture of the body. And it's really helpful because he compares it to a human body, verse 4, and says that's actually what the church is like, a body with many parts all coming together and functioning as one. Sometimes we get sort of, forgetful and think of the church as a building. Other times we can kind of think, oh no, the church is the denomination, there's the church head office or something like that. No. In the New Testament, the church is that body of people gathered around the voice of Jesus Christ. Jesus says in John 10, my sheep hear my voice, they listen to me and they follow me. I give them eternal life. No one will ever snatch them out of my hand. What's the church? Oh, it's the gathering of people around Christ. Hearing, listening, taking his word and taking it to heart. And that's the great picture, the body of believers who are all coming together from different backgrounds, diverse, all of the differences that make up the human race, coming together to listen to, take to heart the word of Christ. Joined to him, we're joined to one another. It's marvellous. And notice how this happens, verse 5. In Christ it says, we though many form one body. There's another translation, the ESV, that says, we are one body. Just makes it kind of clearer. When it says we form one body, it sounds like we have to do something. No, the sense here is, when you've come to trust in Christ, you are part of that body. It's remarkable. You're included into it. And that's the first big point I want you to see. It's a great gift of God to you. Joined to Jesus, you are joined to his body. It's not a potentiality, you might be, a little caveat here. No. It's a reality, you are. It's not a future hope, one day you might be, you will be. No, it's a present fact. In Christ, we are one body now. And it's not dependent on you. Come on, you lot, pull yourselves together. No. In Christ we form one body. The longing, the sort of yearning of that oneness is given as a gift by God to every who come and put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you find yourself here this morning yet to trust in Christ, wonderful to have you here, this body is opened to you. If you'll entrust yourself to the head of the body, the Lord Jesus, who gave himself for you. Now, quite appropriately, for everyone who comes to Christ, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God, Luke 15 says. Everyone who turns to Christ, heaven rejoices. I mean, we're used to the sort of professional athletes. How on the TV coverage, they have the guy with the camera walking behind the professional athlete as she or he walks down the tunnel one by one out onto the playing arena and the vast crowd that surrounds and roars. When you were included in Christ, heaven roars. I tell you, Jesus says, there's joy among the angels of God over every sinner who comes. Now, is that description over the top, do you think? Some might feel it is. We visited a church up north, 37 adults and a few kids. It didn't feel impressive. But can I please point out how God thinks about his body? In Ephesians 3, speaking of God who created all things, it says there in verse 10, God's intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. What does that mean? God made known his wisdom to the heavenly realms. It means God is saying to the heavenly realms, the rulers, the authorities, whoever comprises the heavenly realms, a vast assembly, I take it. He's saying, if you want to see my wisdom at work, look at that church. Look at how the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ has reached this church in the north at the far ends of the earth. Look at those 37 people meeting to glory in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here is my wisdom at work. Here is my gospel bringing people from every tribe and tongue and nation and race into this one body. It's as if God is boasting to the heavenlies. Aren't they something? There's no such thing as an unimpressive body of Christ. An unimpressive church. There's no such thing to God. So let me again say, it's a gift that you get to be part of the body of Christ, that I get to be part of it. It's a great gift, and we're right to rejoice in that. Ephesians 4 declares the same wonder. We read these words earlier, chapter 4, 4 to 6. And it points out what we share in common. What is it that unites us together? Answer, the one Holy Spirit of God. The indwelling Spirit of Christ, who, in binding us to Christ, binds us to one another. It's He who we each have in common. You could say that the Spirit is our common, well, we use this word, commonwealth. Yeah. The same Spirit that resides in you resides in her. The same Spirit that resides in him resides in you also. We're saved through the cross, joined by the Spirit of Christ together. And that great diversity then comes together to form a universal unity. You are one with believers in every, through the ages. And you are one with believers, obviously, geographically. All our differences, all overcome by coming into union with Christ, joined by his one Spirit. Rejoice in the gift that that is to you. But let's now apply some pressure against this point, because in our conversations at Growth Group this week, a number of you have raised the reasonable question, well, what about this unity given the number of denominations that there are? And you can actually take that point and press it further and say, what about when groups of churches step apart from one another? Like, what of the oneness there? Has a church failed? It's a reasonable question. We are urged to keep the unity of the faith, Ephesians 4, verse 1 and 2. So stepping apart from one another is not something you do lightly. It's a serious matter. You don't just fall out over the quality of coffee or the type of music. No, no, churches do that. We ought not to do that. But there are serious situations where in order to safeguard the long-term listening to the word of Christ, what's the church? Gather around to hear and take hold of the word of Christ, where that long-term listening is jeopardised. And that's where a grievous, sad, slow step apart might be needed. We want everyone to come and hear every word from the Lord, and we don't want selective listening only. And so human institutions like denominations can be so helpful in organising people, collaborating effort in mission. They can even urge, sometimes human institutions urge us to keep hearing the word of Christ. What a helpful thing a denomination can do when it does that. But denominations can also go the other way. And when institutions fail, the right response is grief, repentance, return, a return to trusting, a return to a recommitment to hearing the word of Christ. That's the church at work. It's a gift. It's a great gift. So we're right to rejoice in it, in being members of the one body. Well, that's the first point. Now the second point, a little more briefly. Having come into the body as a gift, we find actually there's a work for us to be doing. The work to see that body functioning together, to see the body built up. And here's where we come to Romans 12, that practical but costly service. Earlier this week, I was with others. We were praying for a man. I'm pretty sure both of his kidneys have failed because he's now on daily dialysis for multiple hours a day. It sounds awful. And as I understand it, his wife has the matching blood type needed, and she's willing to offer one of her own kidneys to give to him. That's a serious operation. It's amazing that we can even contemplate such operations as kidney transplants. Please God, might that organ transplant work. Talk about costly love, giving one of your kidneys away. But that's just the kind of love, costly love, that love for family prompts, isn't it? And according to Romans, the natural response to mercy received from God is costly service extended to his body. See that progression in chapter 12, verse 1? I urge you, so here comes the kind of exhortation, in view of God's mercy. You've been shown mercy. You've been brought into this body of believers as a gift. What a mercy God has shown you. In view of that, how can I respond? What can I do, Lord? How do I show my thankfulness to you and my eagerness to this body? It says, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. And the progression here, offer yourselves. Then down in verse 6 says, use what different gifts God has given you for the sake of that body. One of the valuable things that the body of Christ metaphor, word picture, teaches us, it both dignifies every part and democratizes, that's not the right word, every gift. It dignifies in the sense of every contribution to building up the body is utterly vital. Oh, but it was only a prayer. Oh, it was only a phone call. Every contribution, vital, needed, wondrous. And sort of the democratizing, oh, I wish I had a better word than that, but it's saying that there's no pecking order, oh, your gift's way better than mine. No, it's just different. And every part has a place. Like, just think to yourself, yeah, those kidneys, they need to keep working in that body. And where they don't, an operation's required to try and get a different kidney that'll help it work, because we need every part in not only a human body, but the body of Christ doing its part. Now, the gifts listed there in verses 6 to 8, I won't go into great detail. They're slightly different lists to that you find in Ephesians, and there's a much longer list in 1 Corinthians 12. But they do correspond. There's both speaking gifts and doing gifts. The speaking gifts, they're prophecy, teaching, encouraging. Prophecy, pressing home the word of God, and related to that, the teaching and encouraging. Those speaking gifts are matched with the doing gifts, serving, giving, leading, showing mercy. The overall point, the overall sense of that whole sort of few verses is use what you have. Use what you've received from God to see the body built up in love. That's the point. We've covered Ephesians 4 as a church, I think last year, where the speaking gifts are used to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ in love, building us up to maturity in him. So just let me ask, How active do you see your part in this body of Christ? When the alarm goes off on the Sunday morning, through that sleep haze comes the question, oh, am I going to go to church today? How do you answer that? Do you know, the idea of the one body calls to you through the sleep haze. It says, I'm part of the body of Christ. This is a whole body effort of which I have a part to contribute, however big or small. I'm needed, I'm involved. And it's a privilege to serve in this one body. The motivation is found in the mercy God has shown me and the reward. Look at the reward, like at the end of verse 1, as we give ourselves in costly service, it's pleasing to God. What could be better than that? So, chapter 12, verse 1, offer yourselves in costly service. Now, once again, it's worth applying some pressure to that point. And here, actually, the pressure is applied from the Word of God to us, urging us to give ourselves through in costly service, including through trials. Jesus, in John 15, talked about pruning to bear more fruit. That's painful when we go through a season of pruning. Romans 12 talks about trials. If you look down at verse 14 and 15, bless those who persecute you. So there's a trial. Bless and do not curse. A temptation to curse. There's another difficulty to get through. Rejoice with those who rejoice. That one's easier, perhaps. Mourn with those who mourn. That can be tough. But the New Testament repeatedly has us thinking corporately. Like 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says, if one part suffers, all suffer with it. But our world is a Marie Kondo kind of world, where, like, she was the one that was talking about, what if you've got lots of junk in your house, get rid of it. If it doesn't spark joy, get rid of it. But people apply that to their friends. You're not sparking joy with me, get rid of you. That sounds harsh, but actually people do that. Do you see? That's why we don't have oneness in the world. If you're not scratching my back, well, that's it. You're gone. Do you see how the body of Christ works right against that? Where one part suffers, all suffer with it. The work of the body includes walking through trials together. That's what costly service looks like. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Do the hard walk with your brother and sister. Have Romans 12 verse 1 speak to you. I urge you to offer yourself in costly service in that way. It honours Christ. It pleases God. It's why on earth the church is one of those unique bodies that are able to get through difficulties and not just separate and walk off in a huff. Okay, as we draw this to a close, let's ask, how does this work practically for us as a church? How do we seek to build the body together as Redeemer Church? And I've just got one little point there on the outline. We set ourselves to serve the body in a stretching but not sinking way. That's a convoluted sentence, but I think it's trying to pick up on Romans 12 verse 1. We set ourselves to serve in a stretching way. Stretching is different for different people. For some people, even praying out loud in a cafe, oh, that's really stretching, I couldn't do that. But others say, oh no, I'll just pray right now. For some, attending someone's dinner at someone else's house, that's stretching. But for another, stretching is, let me host you at my house. Stretching is different for different people, and that's okay. But stretching is our attempt at practically expressing costly service. Service that's possible and yet stretching, challenging. Serving, it's not just autopilot, set and forget. No investment of effort. We want to serve God in a stretching way, but we also want to serve in a way that's not sinking, in a way that doesn't cause us to go under. For example, there was a lady who used to serve, host in her home, pray with others, gather people, like highly involved. Now she's older, and that's beyond her. So as a church, we're not saying, oh, keep doing all the things you're doing. No. Serve in a not sinking way. What she does now is sits with others, holds their hand and prays. What a great thing. What a way to build up the body of Christ. We each have different capacities in life. Life that ebbs and flows, different situations that come up through life. So as a church, we're not asking us to do more than we're able to do. No, just in a stretching but not sinking way. That's how we look to try and put Romans 12 verse 1 into practice. As we do, we trust that God will give the gifts needed to build up this body of Christ. And we pray that every expression of service given to serve the body, like for example, we put on morning tea, not because we think you're hungry, but in order to facilitate conversations where we can be talking to one another about the Lord. We want to extend our fellowship in that way, building one another up. Praying that God will use every expression of service to build up the body of Christ here. What a privilege to serve the body. What an honour to be part of it. What a gift. And what a work that we have. In union with Christ, you could not be more closely connected to the Lord Jesus. In union with Christ, we could not be more closely connected to one another. Whether we've known each other for 5 minutes or 50 years. As we finish our series, I hope if you're yet to entrust yourself to the Lord, please see the closeness of relationship that's held out to you. You're warmly invited into it. Entrust yourself to him today. But for you who are in Christ, I hope the closeness of the relationship you have in him thrills you, secures you, causes you to depend upon him all the more day by day, and leads you to love and serve your brothers and sisters in the body all the more. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, you love us with a love that we do not deserve. Your mercy in bringing us into the body of believers. How we praise you and thank you for the gift that it is to belong to Christ, to belong to his body. And now we pray, Father, we offer ourselves to you as living sacrifices. Please might we be holy and pleasing in your sight. And please put before us the good works that you want us to walk in, that we might see the body of Christ built up to your praise and for Jesus' fame. We ask in his name. Amen.